the Midweek Drive Team, four words which signify quality and all that's best in audio entertainment.
Go ahead and take care of business for me, for me, for me. Oh, Lord, don't keep me waiting. Be as firm as can be. Go ahead and take care of business for me, for me, for me.
Welcome to another edition of Business Matters, of course, on Siren Radio, developing a whole new look at the wonderful world of businesses, SMEs and beyond in terms of the Lincolnshire region. And today, of course, we're going to be looking at the world of books, more than books, quality books, a whole range of wonderful books, etc. Stamford Books, from that point of view. And we have the managing director, indeed, of Stamford Books, of course, with us, Hugo Spiegel. How are you, Hugo?
Very well, and you?
I'm okay. I mean, I say Stamford Books. It's the Stamford Notebook Company. Let's be precise about this.
That is correct.
So Stamford in itself, I've always felt when going there, is rather like stepping into the world of late or mid-Victorian England. You can see Dickens almost writing the Pickwick Papers and seeing Mr. Pickwick getting off from that point of view. Obviously known for things such as the Burley Horse Trials, of course, from that point of view, where we've been fortunate enough to actually see your stand and lines within that. Share with us a little bit about the Stamford Notebook Company.
Essentially, as a business, which was started by my father in the very late 1950s. He had moved up to London when he was working for a firm of stationers in London and saw Stamford was a good place to bring up a family, start a business, as connections on the A1, et cetera, et cetera. And started a business here as commercial printers. Which drifted into being commercial printers and short-run bookbinders. We were producing in those days a considerable amount of stationery for professional trades such as auctioneers, solicitors, surveyors, accountants, a lot of your jobbing sort of stationery, and in the days before computers in a very analog age, we were using an awful lot of pen to paper stationery, and that was the sort of thing that we were supplying largely by mail order. Dad was spent a lot of time away from home, traveling the roads, knocking on doors, and seeing the customers. As you can imagine, roll on the years with the change in consumption, the digital era. The face of commercial print has changed hugely, and I can't stress the consumption strongly enough, how we consume our media, how we consume our written word. And that over the years has led to a dramatic decline in commercial print, that to more or less to an extent that I would almost say that largely as consumers and small businesses, we don't really use commercial print. Almost the humble business card is rapidly declining. And we could see this, and as small businesses, as entrepreneurs, you're always casting around to find what is the next big thing, what is the avenue that's going to give you continuance in your business, for your business. And some 10, 12 years ago, when we were coming out of the last awful crisis, the financial crisis, which had a tremendous impact on SMEs, dare I say, selfishly, as printers, it was very disruptive, because largely when you have a market for printers that is reliant on marketing spend, the tap turns off in difficult times. And so we were certainly looking for new markets, and of course it was more or less staring us straight in the face, because we had retained all of the traditional skills for bookbinding. We still had all of our printing skills, but apart from anything, we had a sort of a tremendous amount of knowledge in paper, in materials, and so we put together and developed the brand of the Stamford Notebook Company, which it does what it says on its tin. It was to primarily create a product which was the humble notebook.
And the quality obviously goes without saying. There were a whole range of musical choices you suggested for us, but I feel, in light of obviously the discussion we've just had in terms of how you survived both the financial crisis and, of course, COVID, maybe Andy Williams' The Impossible Dream will be the first one to start off with.
Absolutely.
To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star. No matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to fight the unbeatable foe, to reach the unreachable.
You're listening to Business Matters program on Siren Radio. We're lucky enough to be speaking to Hugo Spiegel, Managing Director of the Stanford Notebook Company. Hugo, can I take you back to your early teenage years, specifically 13 years of age, when I gather that was when you first started to learn to letterpress print. So share with us that, you know, that time now, possibly not too far in the dim and distant past, but certainly in the 20th century. Let's talk about your thoughts there. Was this a career you were thinking about even then?
I suppose so, because I was brought up in and amongst print. It was a family business, of course. With all family businesses, you were in the in and out of the office, the workshop, as part of your life. I was very, very fortunate to go to a school which had a letterpress printing department. It was a school that printed its own collateral largely, and it had great affiliations with the University of Leicester, which was a spiritual home of printing, and particularly print training. They had a print college there, which is sadly no more. And so with those connections, the school did have it had a printing department, and us young people were encouraged to be involved should you wish. So it was just a pretty natural gravitation that you would go in there. And it was extremely well stocked. There were two hand-fed platens. There was a large Mealy, which was a French cylinder press, which the instructor would only use. But we were taught to hand set the type, make up the chases, proof the paper, and print simple jobs, which was around for the school. So it was extremely competent, actually. And actually, since then, when I did actually join Dad, I realized how well stocked that small press, an absolute delight. So yeah, learned it all there, and they are skills that we still use today, because we still have letterpress, and it still has a heart and a place in business.
Smiles, no walk down the aisle, no flowers, no wedding.
construction for the Johnstown Company. But lately there ain't been much work on account of the economy. Now all them things that seem so important, well, mister, they vanish right into the air. Now I just act like I don't remember. Mary acts like she don't care. But I remember us riding in my brother's car, her body tan and wet down at the reservoir. At night on them banks I'd lie awake, then pull her close just to feel each breath she'd take. Those memories come back to haunt me, they haunt me like a curse. Is a dream a life that don't come true, or is it something worse that sends me
just been listening to Bruce Springsteen and The River. Why? Well, because Steve Redgrave and Matthew Pinsent probably couldn't actually do the kind of skill sets that you get at the Stanford Notebook Company. I gather you actually competed against them, and indeed you're still a passionate, well, basically follower of the rivers and so on, and indeed a treasurer of Peterborough City Rowing Club. Is this correct?
Yes, that's correct. I joined rowing quite late in life. At school, etc., we were on the top of a hill, so there wasn't any water. But I joined Peterborough City Rowing Club actually through a charity event, and immediately became hooked. And those of your listeners who've ever been involved with rowing know that it's incredibly addictive, and because it's largely a team sport, a crew sport, you get to know your fellow crew members extremely well, and very much about reliability, ability, and compatibility. So you become a very, very tight-knit group, and train together. You succeed and fail together, which I suppose is a great metaphor for business. After my active rowing days, I have stayed on as a trustee and the treasurer of the club, which I'm very, very proud of. And hopefully some of your listeners may well have been involved with rowing and have bumped into Peterborough City Rowing Club. I personally have fond memories of doing what's called the Boston Marathon, which is rowing from Lincoln to Boston. Done that several times, including all of the aches and pains that involves.
Because, of course, as frequently noted when we used to cover back in the day, the London Boat Show and so on, we do actually live on an island. Sometimes people forget that, but in terms of obviously the range of activities on the waterways that are actually there, there are huge numbers. And clearly, as well as rowing, you've got other opportunities for sailing and such like. Ever been tempted to do any kind of marathon rows, rowing across the Atlantic, for instance, or such stuff?
In weak moments, of course, yeah, I could do that, couldn't I? But not a chance. I really take my hat off to anybody who attempts those feats, because they are extraordinary. I wouldn't know where you I wouldn't know where you start with it. It's awful. No, don't go there.
And just really, we've obviously heard the boss do his performance of what, for me, actually, apart from Born to Run, was probably the quintessential Springsteen, and certainly the album The River with Clarence Clemons and the whole E Street Band. I think it's very much to the fore there. Have you always been a Springsteen aficionado?
I just love music. I like good music, and Springsteen is good music.
Excellent. Okay, well, we've had Andy Williams, we've had Bruce Springsteen. I think it's only fair. What of your selection would you prefer us to actually come to next before we start moving into the current state of play with respect to publishing, bespoke printing, and so on?
I would suggest, rather tongue in cheek, as a small family business, I would suggest the title theme from Succession.
Nicholas Britell, clearly. Okay, as you said, I can't quite see you, Hugo, as the kind of Brian Cox person. And I'm pleased to note, and certainly from the listener's point of view, you haven't dropped the F-bomb once in the program so far. Obviously, we would have had to delete it if you had, but it's good to see that propriety in broadcasting is still there.
I'm extremely well behaved on a Zoom call.
Okay. As we said, the Stamford Notebook Company—it's clearly a long-established firm. You have managed to evolve successfully. I see it as a kind of quality. It's almost you've kept the craft of bookbinding alive. You've kept the intrinsic quality of books alive. And there certainly still seems, from my perspective at least, even with students, they like their paper notebooks. Yes, they like their tablets, they like their iPhones, they like various other aspects. But that sense of connectivity that you actually get from pen and paper is something which, even now, when I speak to writers and authors who obviously will produce a lot of material via computer systems and so on, but there's still that initial notes taking. There's something unique in there. I mean, and I even know writers who still sort of like to actually get most of their initial thoughts down on paper with a pen.
I think you've hit on a very, very important point, that logically we would say that in a digital age that we would be drifting away from pen and paper, but I strongly feel quite the opposite, that that whilst we're charging towards a paperless environment, people do say, as you rightly point out, they want the security of. There's been many, many studies to actually underline the fact that if you write something down in your note-taking, the retention is much greater. You also, when you refer back to handwritten notes, you can almost smell the day. You're there. All of the passions, how you wrote things down, very, very clear. You do not get that with electronic note taking. And half the time, whenever I take electronic note, I can never find it again. And you just don't you there's no passion. Don't get me wrong, I will never knock the digital technology. It is a huge support for us, and I suppose without it we wouldn't be where we are. But it is a marriage that the two goes side by side, and will continue to play very, very important roles together. I think when we look towards our future with the next revolution, which will be AI, I'm really comfortable that in our space we're sitting pretty with the product. It of course is going to be a tremendous help for us, but I think it's going to become very worrisome for people, and quite likely we're going to retreat for certain aspects of our lives to a more analog recording system or whatever. We haven't in our discussions about AI ever introduced the Mark One human being. And I strongly feel that we will be enjoying pen and paper for a long time. It's got to be noted that sales of such items as fountain pens has been extremely strong. It's an extremely good market. The actual written book markets, novels, etc., has been increasing. It's the only part of the printing market that has been increasing. Therefore, the Kindle, which I personally thought when it first came out, as before the Kindle, it was the Sony Reader, that I just thought, oh, that's it. We may as well pack up and go now. That's the end of the printed word as we know it. But here we are. Kindle is marketing in a fairly small area, particularly to an aging population. Surprisingly, our largest market, as Messrs. Google will tell us, are actually young people between the age of 25 and 34, with a majority of female. And I completely get it. And there we are. So I think the future is incredibly bright, and we welcome it.
As I mentioned, I was fortunate enough in some of our Simon Radio team, I think have been lucky when we've done location reports for the Madrid Drive and more to connect pre-pandemic, it has to be said, because we must admit we haven't as yet resumed our regular visits to Stamford, and certainly the Burley horse trials for that. But very impressed with, of course, the team. And I think I might possibly have met your wonderful partner, Joe Spiegel, director, of course, who I see basically in 2006 had a happy 40th present from yourself. Would you like to just expand a bit on that?
Oh yes, that was that was the time when I invited to join me within the business, which was well, she'd probably never thank me for it, but it I don't know. I think it's of course it's a family business, and We all pull together. It's you have your highs and you have your lows, and I think I've always said leadership is a very lonely place. You need to offload some of your troubles. You need to discuss, etc. And who better than your wife?
Well, I was just wondering, is that really the story behind elbow and magnificent brackets? She says close brackets. Was that a kind of nod in the direction of Joe? Clearly,
Yeah,
she's referring to yourself and the company as being
okay.
magnificent. That's what I was thinking, really. That's all. Or maybe not.
Yeah, elbow. I'm fortunate enough to have tickets to see them again this year. Really excited to see them, and I think they're fantastic, and I think the sentiment is there, and I think you're bob on with the title.
Sound. Throwing both around.
It's Business Matters on Siren Radio, and we have Hugo Spiegel from the Stanford Notebook Company, CEO from that point of view, and clearly just looking at present at the Stanford Notebook Company website, stanfordnotebooks.co.uk. Already you've got the heart search, the elements of nature, the Valentine package is all put together. Really, following on from what we've just been talking about, that's something, again, with print, that yes, you can have virtual cards, you can have virtual greetings, you can have a whole variety of cyberspace artifacts and so on. But that physicality of actually holding a book that's been specially crafted and bound together is something which arguably is an essential part of our human experience. Is that something that keeps you going on a day-by-day basis by saying, yeah, you know, this is good stuff? I mean, and when you turn around and you look at your product, you think, wow, this is good.
Yes, I think all of our staff really enjoy making these products, and we hand bind these books, and so therefore there's a tremendous amount of time and, dare I say, love goes into these products. We're fortunate enough to have a certain number of corporate customers, and so they're buying in a little bit more bulk than one would normally see. So you could be talking about sort of several hundreds, but every single one is made. It's made with care, and it's checked, it's inspected, it's packaged, and sent on its way with a little bit of love. They're tactile items, and I think I really do hope that we manage to actually get that message across that we occasionally still have people that will say to us, so where do you make them then? We make everything here in Stanford, the whole thing from the printed sheet to the finished item. Our paper is milled up in Cumbria. It's to our recipe, our specification. We want a super smooth sheet of paper. We don't want it to bleed with a fountain pen. We want it to be reasonably opaque, and so you're putting some thought into this. This is not an accountant's decision. How cheap can we make these things? No, we're making a product that's made with care and attention, with the best materials that we can find, that through our knowledge, and people appreciate that. So it's what we do. It's what we love, and it's tremendously liberating to get into that space. When you've been involved with something like commercial print for many years, which was all about how quick can you do something, how cheap can you do it, to step away to that to introduce a product in which we can say, we made this, we took some time over this, we've really thought about it, but it costs this. That's it. If you don't want it, we're quite happy, but there is a lot of people that do actually recognize it. So you're quite right. It's an item at this time of year is perfectly relevant, I think.
And of course, upcoming, of course, Easter journals, the whole variety of other things, and notebooks are always inevitably useful, certainly for reporters who need to have the opportunity to actually employ and utilize their skills when it comes to shorthand. Still essential, even if you're reporting any court cases, shorthand is the official line. Indeed, Sky Sports refuse to actually look at prospective students unless they actually have shorthand. A little by the by there.
Really? Okay, yeah. Yeah,
old okay. School. Very much so. Looking ahead to, let's say, the next quarter of the 21st century, which we're rapidly approaching, we've already expressed, and Hugo, you've expressed very eloquently the confidence you actually have. Do you feel that actually, you know, we had succession, obviously. Do you feel that as the world continues to grow, that is there an international market? Is there already an international market that you're looking into in terms of, you know, this is a company that probably will have customers as far afield as China, Brazil, and wherever?
All of the above. We have an order which is going out, I think, on Monday to Dubai. It is a 150 diaries to a company. Because of the nature of our bespoke boutique production, it is a diary with Arabic celebration dates. It was very easy for us to do this, so that leaves us on Monday. We've got customers all over the world. Georgia, Tbilisi. We've got customers in Northern Europe. Where's our largest export market? Difficult to say. We have a considerable amount which goes to Australia and New Zealand, which is fairly logical, being fairly aligned with British taste. North America is good, logical, because it's English speaking. I think that can be a little bit more tricky. Our biggest nemesis are our shipping costs. Paper is bulky and it's not light, so therefore shipping costs can be quite tricky. It's something that we're actively working on to try and crack that nut, because the world is a pretty big place, and people love British goods and British manufacture, and we're immensely proud of our products which go abroad, because we're thinking, look, these customers have passed over many local suppliers or other countries to come to us. So it is a moment or moments of great pride, and it's quite an honor to be supplying these people. Last night we were hosted to a reception by the Board of Trade, who are very keen on supporting exporters, and fair play to the government. I think they genuinely are trying to help, and they do assist. They are opening doors. They're trying to remove barriers, because there's nothing worse than a product turning up in a country for a customer to say, the books are stuck in customs. What do I do now? Yeah, they're asking for a tariff or a fee or a payment or a duty. So we do require the powers that be to step in and smooth the way for us as exporters, just to leave us with the thorny problems of shipping and how do we get the stuff out there. So yeah, the world's a big place. It is.
Again, it's a little bit of a cliche question, but we return to the 13-year-old Hugo Spiegel. What would yourself currently in 2024 have to say to the young 13-year-old Hugo? Any particular words of wisdom or advice, if you had that opportunity to say, listen, son, this is where you want to go. Put your eggs in this particular basket.
Don't sweat the small stuff. I would, although clearly details matter, don't get hung up on the little details. Really focus on the on the big picture. And I would say, just whenever you get up in the morning, try and be a better person than yesterday,
and do some rowing. Obviously, work on the rowing skills so you can actually beat Matthew Pinsent and Steve Redgrave, and work on that basis. Who knows? It could have taken up a whole new world. Music, we've had a variety that's coming through. We have to invite you back to actually cover some of the other aspects, but are there any particular numbers that, from Jar of Hearts, Christine Perry, through Will We Talk, Sam Fender, Bubbles, Biffy Clyro, any that you particularly think, yeah, I think they deserve to have an airing and to get their 0.0001p for the Musicians Union in terms of that?
Well, I would essentially, it's got to be When You're Smiling, which is played at the start of all of the Leicester City home games.
When smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, oh, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. When you're crying, you bring out the rain, so stop your sighing. Be happy again when you're smiling. The whole
That's brought us neatly around to, of course, another aspect. Leicester City, the sport of the round ball as opposed to the spherical ball in terms of Leicester Tigers. Are you a passionate Leicester City fan, and do you feel as though the Premiership is going to be back with you next season?
Yes. I was introduced to Leicester City by my eldest son, who became a passionate supporter, and as a dutiful dad, I had to accompany him to the home games, and it became somewhat addictive. I'm a season ticket holder and an active supporter. I think definitely we'll be there next year. I suppose. On reflection, from where we've come from, with a Premiership title and an FA Cup win and success in Europe, I think our grey area when we suffered relegation was I think it was a sense check, which is probably very important for us all, that we were clearly thinking, well, you know, this can't possibly go wrong. Well, it did go wrong, and I felt that we needed a good period on the naughty step to think about it, and we've been very, very fortunate to recruit the right manager, who's fitted in extremely well, and he's been working wonders for the club, and he's got the club behind him, and he's got the supporters behind him, and the players are clearly playing for him. So without a doubt, I think we've just got to be planning celebrations.
Well, as I often came to mention, given the 1969 FA Cup final result when Neil Young actually managed to score for my own personal team against Leicester City, clearly the fact that we've now given you a manager who used to be on the coaching staff of Pep Guardiola has clearly helped matters from that perspective. So it's all good.
Yes.
And there are those
yes.
of us who still remember the likes of Frank Worthington, Keith Weller, Alan Birchnell and others actually playing for the Hull,
yeah.
for instance. Way
yes,
back.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's been terrific connecting with yourself today, Hugo. Genuinely a pleasure and a delight. A reminder, of course, people who wish to find out more, is the website the best place to go, stanfordnotebooks.co.uk?
Yes, everything, all of our communication and all of our love is online.
Excellent. So just a couple of final questions. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting session today with Business Matters? Has it been an enjoyable time for your good self?
Yes, excellent. What I would say is when you are down in Stanford, come and visit us and actually look and see what we do. It's all here.
Do you know, I think a location report will very much be in the offing in hopefully the very near future, certainly from that point of view. So
it would be an honour to host you.
That would be fantastic. And I take it then you'd also be kind enough to return in the not too distant future?
I would love to, yes.
Perhaps we should do a double act, yourself and Joe, on the whole system and actually sort of do a whole sort of scenario there. Just a thought.
Yes.
Hugo Spiegel, Managing Director, Chief Executive Officer, continuing keeper of the flame in many ways for the Stanford Notebook Company. Huge thanks. And the final choice of music, well, I think we'll leave it with maybe Christine Perry, Jar of Hearts.
Yes, yes. This reminds me of my son's school that was had quite a bit of musical talent, and I remember vividly a young lady who sang this, and it was just absolutely perfect, and it always resonates. So yes, please go for it.
I know I can't take one more step towards you, 'cause all that's waiting is regret. Don't you know I'm not your ghost anymore? You lost the love I love the most. I learned to live half alive, and now you want me one more time. And who do you think you are? Collecting a jar of hearts and tearing love apart. You're gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul. So don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? I hear you're asking all around. You're gonna catch a cold from the ice inside your soul. So don't come back for me. Who do you think you are? And it took so long just to feel alright. Remember how to put back the light in my eyes. I wish I had missed to get me.